You've talked a little bit about this in blog posts in the past. A big part of mastering your work as a writer is just saying no to requests like this one for you to come onto my podcast, right? You call this planned neglect, saying no to good things so you could focus on your most essential work. What do you mean by that term? And what is that term planned neglect meant for you in your career?
Well, it's been huge to me, Jordan, because when I was a young pastor, especially, I just believed that any invitation to serve, to teach, to lead a group, to travel somewhere and do something for a group of people, well, obviously, I was asked, so it must be God's will. You know, well, that you're going to burn out really quickly if that's right. The case. And I actually did. I burned out in a lot of ways. I mean, I continued in pastoral ministry, but it was only after I was out of pastoral ministry and starting this new ministry, Eternal Perspective Ministries that we have, where I just realized I have to change my whole way of thinking, because it's not a sufficient reason to do something that it is a good thing. It is not even sufficient reason to do something that it is a great thing.
Yeah.
Because what I have to do is, among those things that come my way and I'm asked to do, I need to decide what are the very, very few things that God has really called me to do. So I started asking God, okay, Lord, change my assumption. Lord, I assume my answer should be no. That's what I do. Every invitation I get now, I start thinking, no. But then I say, but open my heart and draw me to this if you want me to do this. I recently did that with something where my assistant, Chelsea, nicely says no to almost everything on my behalf. And then I tell her, look, I'll overrule that if I look at it and pray about it, and then I'll get back to him. And I did that. I got back to somebody and said, you know, Chelsea was right to say no, because I'm saying no to almost everything. But in this particular case, I sensed as I prayed about it, God wants me to say yes. So planned neglect means, what am I going to neglect to the glory of God? What am I going to not do to the glory of God? Now, last year, I had a blast doing fantasy football for the first time I've ever done. And I started getting my emails and sign up for this and all this kind of stuff. And I was going, you know what? I have some things that I've got to get done, and I've taken on a responsibility. I've gone back to coaching high school tennis. That's a big time commitment. And I have to carve something out. I've got to neglect something. So I am, with a certain amount of sadness, I'm still going to enjoy football, but I'm not going to do fantasy football, which is the ultimate. I know people who spend more time on fantasy football than they do on their jobs. So,
Yeah, absolutely. A great time suck of our era. I talk about this in this new book, Redeem Your Time, this idea of the importance of not just identifying priorities, but what Peter Drucker called posteriorities, right? The list of things that you're going to avoid at all cost until you finish working through your priorities. I'm curious, do you have a couple of questions? It sounds like you pray over a lot of these requests, very wise. Like, do you have any questions that you systematically work through when evaluating requests for your time?
Yes, I do. And one of them is, am I uniquely qualified to
do this? That question.
This is one of the things that I realized years ago. I was doing a lot of speaking for the pro-life movement, pregnancy center, banquets, events on the East Coast, conferences I was speaking at, missions conferences also, and other general Christian conferences. But I started asking myself, okay, really? So I'm flying across the country. So you're in Tampa Bay. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So this would, you would get this if you did the exact opposite.
Totally,
I think you were recently in Portland, so you understand what's involved in that. But why am I flying across the country to speak somewhere for 40 minutes and it's taking the better part of 3 days of my life?
Oh, yeah.
There's the first travel day to get there, because coming out of Portland, I usually have to have a connection. And, you know, by the time I actually get there, it's too late to have done the travel that day. And what happens if I miss a flight, or, you know, whatever. Okay, so there's that day. And then there's the next day where I'm actually speaking at the event. And then after that, then there's the travel back home, which often takes me into that third day. So I've just taken 3 days of my life to speak for 40 minutes. It doesn't make sense. Aren't there people on the East Coast
right,
who can address pro-life issues? And the answer, of course, is yes. And I know that because they're always flying out here to the West Coast to do it. So, you know, in other words, how about we just say there is something to a regional thing? Now, I've traveled around the world and I sure. get it. And I know there's time. And that's not a hard and fast rule. But it is something where I say, why would I do this? And the only reason would be if I am just in a unique position to do it. Another thing I would add to that is, do I have a unique passion for this that energizes me and my wife? And that's going to answer one of these things that I chose to do about 5 years ago. Nancy and I were praying that God would help us to get involved with more younger people. By younger people, we didn't mean teenagers, but more 20s and 30s people who we could pour into their lives. And then I got an invitation to speak at a pro athletes conference put on by a Christian organization. And that opened up incredible doors and relationships where one of the athletes that I'd known, Matt Hasselbeck, who used to play for the Seahawks and other teams as well. But he remembered me from a Seahawks chapel. And he said, hey, how you doing? We were catching up. He says, hey, you want to come to my small group? And I said, well, isn't that just for players? He says, well, I want you to be there and you'll be my, like, my Bible answer man or whatever. You know? Okay. So
my living concordance. Hey, Randy.
Yeah. Some of the tough questions, whatever. So I come and here Matt's leading this group and these guys are in it and Andy Dalton and Nick Foles and Case Keenum and the Kirk Cousins and these guys. And I develop these relationships with these guys and I'm able to pour into their lives and do an online study with there's 18 active quarterbacks in the NFL and a number of retired ones that are in this group. And it's not that big of a thing, but it results in getting texts. Hey, what does this Bible verse mean? And I'm leading a small group tonight. Hey, can you help me with this? And all of that. Well, so that's something I could go, well, I'm not the only person who could do this, but for whatever reason, it kind of brings joy to us because my wife's a huge football fan. She's struggling with cancer. For her to find delight in something, she always tells me, you can't say no to any of these NFL things. Because she says, if they want to speak in chapel, we get free tickets. Okay, so we're going. And I go, well, I don't know if I have time to prepare. Nope, you're doing it.
So make it up on the way.
Yep.